All right, now back with us and making his third appearance with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former Bengals tight end Craig Thompson. Let me give you some more background on Craig. He is from Hartsville, South Carolina, which is in the northeastern part of the state. Played his college ball at North Carolina A&T, where he was the best pass-catching tight end in school history. He was named an All-MEAC Conference player in 1990 and 91. He was inducted into the North Carolina A&T Hall of Fame back in 2010, and not only is he in their Hall of Fame, he's now the president of their Hall of Fame as well. Craig was a fifth-round draft pick in 1992 by the Cincinnati Bengals, and he played in the league from 92 to 94 for the Bengals, Steelers, and Jaguars, and we're excited that he is back with us tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Craig, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Hi, Craig.
Hey, Chris and Bob, nice to join you again.
Great.
So, Craig, I wanted to start off our time with you tonight by talking about your alma mater, North Carolina A&T, your Aggies. 9-0 so far this season, ranked number 7 in the FCS Division I AA. So, you know, is this a national championship team this year for them?
Well, it could be. It could be a chance to battle for it, but unfortunately we can't play in the FCS playoffs because of obligations with ESPN to play in the Celebration Bowl to win our conference.
Really? So you can play in a bowl game, but you can't play in the playoffs?
Right. So they did a Celebration Bowl now with the MEAC championship team and the SWAC championship team that's held in Atlanta in December. And when they signed the contract with ESPN, the winner of each conference has to go to that bowl game. They can't go to the FCS playoff unless they're number 2 in the conference, and they still get a bid into the playoffs.
Wow. I guess, you know, the bowl game is pretty prestigious, but, boy, to think you have an opportunity with this team at 9-0 to potentially win a national championship, you got to be torn. If you're one of the players on that team, you got to be torn on which thing you would rather do, go play this bowl game or get in the playoffs. That's a tough one.
Yeah, it's a tough one. And while you said that, 9-0 is the best record in school history. So they just surpassed that, and so it's a tough position to be in. So you're giving up the opportunity to play for a national championship to play for the Black College Football National Championship.
So, Craig, one of the guys who recently came out of North Carolina A&T was Tarik Coleman, now playing really well for the Chicago Bears. For people who weren't familiar with him until now, talk about what you saw to him during his time as an Aggie.
Well, Tarik was a unique guy. I didn't get to see him too much on occasion because my son was at Coastal Carolina playing during the same time. They graduated the same year out of high school and college. But the times I got to see him, he's an electric guy. He's just a guy about 5'6". He came in A&T probably 165 pounds, soaking wet. But the kid had heart, he had athletic ability, and he was tough as nails. So he was a unique player. I think he's the leading rusher in MEAC history. He broke all kind of records that's probably 2 pages long in college. So he's a unique player, and, it's amazing to see how his skills and all that transferred to the NFL level this year, and how, that same speed he had in college looked like he went away from guys in the NFL too.
Bob, questions for Craig?
Great to speak with you again, Craig, and I want to stay on the NCA&T thing here because, I think of that school, Craig, and I think of a lot of NCAA tournament appearances in basketball. They always seem to do so well in basketball and get into the tournament, try to make some noise, and tell us what led you, guy from South Carolina, to go there in the first place. Tell us about the academics. I know a lot of these technical schools are pretty high academically also.
Yeah, they're very high academically. We'll first start off, when I came out of college, out of high school, I ended up going to junior college at Chouan Junior College in Murfreesboro, North Carolina. And by the time I finished there, Coach Hayes, Bill Hayes, who's actually just got inducted into the Black College Football Hall of Fame, he came down to junior college and, he talked to me, saw me play. He just transferred. He just came over from Winston-Salem State to A&T. Coaching, they just finished 2-9 that previous year. And he said, man, if I had you on my team, I could have won 7 more games. So I went over there, signed with them. Actually, it's my dad and my parents' fault. He got in, you know about coaches and all. They get into inside your kitchen. You know, they know who to sell to, and they sold to my mom and dad. You know, all the things he could do, and, you know, the education I would get. Even though I was going to a smaller school, and it's a historically black college and a 1AA school, that I've still had opportunities to, you know, hone on my skills and go to the next level. It was close to the home, so it was like 2 hours from my home, which my other choice was to go to Youngstown State, Ohio. But my dad said, nah, you going here with Coach Hayes. Now he's going to take care of you. He's going to look out for you. So I got there. You know, it was a great atmosphere. I like the smaller college because, you know, even though you're a smaller school, you're playing, you know, football at FCS level. We had great competition. I played against some of the great guys, you know. I forgot. We had three or four guys on our team that got drafted, and we also had Robert Porcher from South Carolina State that played against him. He was the first-round draft pick. So you had competition within that conference you're playing in. But for academic-wise, being in that setting and at that smaller school, you know, going to A&T is like a family. You know, it was, you know, teachers there to work with you, to help you in the classrooms. You know, you didn't have the, you know, the high, you know, academic facilities and all that kind of stuff where you got tutors helping the athletes. So a lot of the professors took a lot of extra time with you at athletes, knowing that you're traveling and playing on weekends. So they gave you that attention you need, which when I was coming out of high school, I struggled academically. And they helped me and learned me and taught me how to study and helped me get my degree. And that education that they provided and leadership they provided in the classroom, you know, went a long way with me.
You talk about getting to the next level, Craig. It must have been an incredibly emotional experience when you're drafted by the Bengals for you and your family. You sound like you had a close-knit family and just an emotional time for you. Tell us about when the Bengals came calling. Who were the people, the first people that you dealt with? Was it David Shula? Talk about the first dealings you had with the Bengals as a team.
As a team, Mike Pope, who just retired, I think last year, is a tight end coach for the Bengals, and with the Giants and with the Cowboys, and also with the New England Patriots. He was just leaving the Giants at that time, going to Cincinnati. He came down. I got worked out by a lot of teams. I actually thought I was going to be going to Detroit Lions from hearing from my agent, but Mike Pope kept calling me and checking on me from time to time throughout the spring. And saying, hey, if you're here at this spot, you know, I really like you, we're going to try to get you. So during the draft, you know, I was projected to go to third round, but that passed by, and I'm sitting at home on the phone with my agent, talking back and forth, trying to see what's going on. And fourth round go by, and then I get a call from Mike Pope during the draft. And he was like, you know, and I'm thinking he called me to draft me. He would say, hey, man, I just called to check on you. Hey, want to let you know? I'm still here pulling for you and rooting for you, and hopefully you'll be there and we get the pick. I know we thought we were going to pick you earlier, but, you know, just hang in there. We're going to try to get you. And so, nevertheless, a couple picks went by. Third pick in the fifth round, you know, I got a call back from Dave Shula and Mike Pope on the phone together and asked me would I be willing to come and play for Cincinnati Bengals. So it was a joyous time. I was home, sitting home. All day back then, you had the draft. You know, it was only 2 days. You had the 1 day. The Sunday was the first round through the sixth round, and Monday was the seventh through the 12th round. So I was sitting home all day, missed church, and got a call probably like 7 o'clock on Sunday night. And I was receiving phone calls and people blowing my phone up and tying up the line. You know, back then in 92, you know, my parents didn't have three-way calling anything. So it was like, if you call my house, and somebody's on the phone, the line business. So I'm like, man, y'all stop calling me that time of lineup. So, but it's a joyous time. My parents and I were there, and we celebrated at the house with them in South Carolina.
Craig, you played with one of our good friends here on the show, Leonard Wheeler, when the two of you were in Cincinnati. And he told us that the two of you met on a bus going to training camp, and he let you sit next to him. Is that how you remember meeting Leonard?
Nah, Leonard was getting bullied on the van, and I let him sit beside me because nobody else, he couldn't find a seat. He was a little small DB, and nobody wouldn't let him on the seat. So we actually were going to minicamp practice at the time, right after we got drafted, and and, you know, end up sitting beside each other, talking a little bit, find out we had the same financial group representing us off the field, and got connected and end up staying, moving in apartments right beside each other. And now we're here in Charlotte, you know, 25 years later, and we stay probably 3-4 miles from each other now.
And Craig, I wanted to get your insights on the Bengals this season. They're 3-5 right now. So your thought, is this a team that's capable of going on a sustained winning streak and getting back into the playoff race?
I would like to think so, but I don't think so. I think they can't put it together on both sides of the ball for a complete game. And they have to be a letdown. It's missing a lot of pieces on the offensive line, and Andy Dalton is not having one of his best years, so I think it's kind of, it's a struggle for him. I think it's only going to get worse before it gets better.
And speaking of Andy Dalton.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead and finish your thought, Craig.
No, I was going to say, you can see some of the frustration from the game on this past week when, you know, a model pro, a mild-mannered guy like A.J. Green, you know, with frustration build up, you know, exerts that on the field, you can kind of tell the kind of emotions and things that's going on in the locker room because they had the talent there to win, but they're just not getting it done on the field.
So when you mentioned Andy Dalton, thoughts on him? Is he the long-term answer at quarterback?
I'm not sure. That's a good question. I mean, you look at Andy Dalton 2 or 3 years ago, and he was, you know, a solid quarterback. And he was a solid, you know, production out of him. But, you know, it's kind of fell back in the playoff in pressure situations. So it's kind of hard to say. I mean, from what I've seen this year, I would say no. But a lot of stuff you can't put totally on him. You know, you're getting batted balls that intercepted and guys missing blocks or guys missing reads on blitz and different things of that nature. So it's hard to put it all on his shoulder because he did produce earlier, but it's hard to say whether he's the answer to take them to the next level the next few years or not.
And, Craig, you know, thinking back to your time again when you were a Bengal, you played alongside guys like Boomer Esiason and Tim McGee, Carl Pickens, and Anthony Munoz. Curious to get your memories. What was it like playing alongside those guys?
Oh, man, it was mind-blowing when I first got there because you had, you know, Boomer Esiason and, like you said, David Fulcher, Tim Quimrod. So you had some guys there that I've been watching when they went to the Super Bowl run in 1988. So Munoz is, you know, you playing next to, at tight end, you're playing next to the best, arguably the best offensive lineman in the history of football. So just the knowledge that he had and some of the techniques and stuff that he showed me, coming from a smaller school and then have that coaching he had on and experience he had of so many years in NFL, you know, just showing me how to pass block, showing me how to position myself, how to hold your feet, how to do little teeny things to help you out in learning the game. And on the field as a rookie and so much stuff going through your head and your head spinning with play calls and audibles and have a guy next to you and say, hey, Thompson, hey, do this right here, do that. So, you know, you got another coach on the field while you're on the field. So it was a real, real good experience. I learned a lot from him. And be honest, you know, he's a great, great offensive lineman, but an even better person off the field.
So, Craig, before we let you go, remind everybody what you're doing now.
Right now, I was working with a company called Sherpa, a staffing firm here doing business development. They just had some cuts last week, so I'm actually now just focusing mostly on my business, which is big-time speaking and coaching, where I go around and speak to high schools and football camps and different things of that nature, and also doing some life coaching on the side. And also, you know, I'm actively involved now back with my university, being the president of Hall of Fame and working out some things there. So it's kind of active now and kind of focusing on my business and, you know, trying to keep it moving.
So, Craig, for our listeners that want to stay up to date with the things that you're doing and follow you on, whether it's online or over social media, how can they do it?
They can follow me on Instagram at BigTime48. BigTime48, or you can hit me on Facebook. Craig, look me up on Facebook, Craig Thompson. My website is kind of under construction now, but it's thecraigthompson.com. So she'll be back up in the next couple of days.
Well, there you go. Craig, thank you so much for coming back on the show. It's been a pleasure having you here and catching up with you a little bit. We hope you'll come back a little sooner next time. We'd love to stay in touch and see what's going on with you.
Yeah, man, thank y'all for having me. And I was sitting here on the sideline trying to say, hey, coach, put me in. But y'all wouldn't put me in. Y'all wouldn't run the type of offense y'all need me on.
We'll have to make sure we're throwing some more swing passes to the tight end on the out route and maybe down the seam. Get you back on soon.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you guys. And go Aggies. I know we can't make the playoffs and compete for the national championship, but hopefully we get out here and win this, win out the next two games and go to Celebration Bowl on ESPN and win that.
There you go. Take care, Craig. All the best to you and your family. We'll catch up soon.
You be well. Take care.
Thanks, Bob, Chris. Best of y'all families, too. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Craig.
Bye-bye.
That is former Bengals tight end Craig Thompson. That's surprising to me, Bob, on the Aggies. Boy, I thought you look at this team 9-0, number 7 in Division 1AA. I guess, you know, there's one, you got a prestigious bowl and an opportunity to win over there. But boy, I'd be interested to know from the kids' perspective, you know, how they feel about, you know, the opportunity to play in that bowl versus, you know, maybe this could have been a national championship team.
Yeah, it's a unique situation and very strange to say the least, Chris. But we appreciate Craig's insight. I mean, he's just a tremendous guy. You mentioned he's doing some coaching, Chris. He'd be the ideal coach, a tight end that did the dirty work. I'd love to have that guy coaching my kids. So we wish him the best. He's a great guy.
Yeah, your favorites, right? Always love the tight ends.
Oh, dish lunch pail guys.
Indeed. All right, we've got our next guest, Tony Collins, hanging on the line. We'll get to Tony after this quick station break.